All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you to dig a little deeper into the book of Deuteronomy. This week, we're going to look at the first 17 verses of chapter 11 of Deuteronomy, a chapter that has a lot to say, and yet most of it is quite plain and clear. So this may be a short one. But in here, we see the need for gratitude with our God. Last week, we saw in verse 21 of chapter 10 that He is your praise. The Psalms give us the same instinct, the same desire to go into. And this is the main thing that we have to struggle with in this life. There is one choice for those who are in Christ. Do we continue to obey or do we disobey? Chapter 11 talks about the obligations for obedience, the motives for obedience, and the contrast between obedience and disobedience among God's people. Not talking about those outside the faith, but He is talking directly to the Israelites and saying, this is where the problem lies with you. So today He continues to say it to the church by saying, this is where the problem lies. It's with you. And ultimately, because of our sin, making the wrong choice far too often. So let's take a look at the text. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 1 through 17. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His rules, and His commandments always. And consider today, since I am not speaking to your children who have not known or seen it, consider the discipline of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand, and His outstretched arm, His signs and His deeds that He did in Egypt to Pharaoh the king of Egypt and to all his land, and what He did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and to their chariots, how He made the water of the Red Sea flow over them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day, and what He did to you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what He did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households, their tents, and every living thing that followed them in the midst of all Israel. For your eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord that He did. You shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong, and go in and take possession of the land that you were going over to possess, and that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to give to them and to their offspring, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land that you are entering to take possession of it is not like the land of Egypt, from which you came, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven, a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give you grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Take care lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens, so that there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruit, and you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. All right, there is our text for this week. All right, so he starts off this chapter by saying, because God is your praise, you shall therefore love the Lord your God, and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, his commandments always. And consider today, consider right now, the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm. He says, I'm not speaking to your children who have not known or seen it. So now we have this division among the audience that Moses is talking to for a moment. This is not the people who are standing there who are less than 40 years old that are the children of the wilderness. He is specifically talking to those who are still there who walked through the water of the Red Sea, who have not been overthrown in the wilderness yet. He's not addressing the younger generation because they didn't see all these things. He's also not addressing us because we have not seen these things. This particular thing from verses 1 through 7 especially is specifically to the older generation that is still there. The older generation there to teach their children, to show the great love that God has in all the things that he did by relating to them the stories of the plagues, by talking to them about going through the Red Sea, about being at Mount Sinai. Many of them may not have been there at that time. So we have these being passed down from generation to generation. So now we have this group here that is being reminded that they are the ones to pass down this knowledge as they consider what is the discipline of the Lord, showing what he did to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, what he did to the armies in the Red Sea, what he did in the wilderness, especially looking to Numbers 16, where we have Korah and Dathan and Abiram and 250 other chief men of the sons of Israel coming up and saying they are sick and tired of Moses and his leadership, that they want to be the ones in charge. And especially, they want to go with this idea that everyone is a priest. They come together in Numbers 16, verse 3. You have gone too far, speaking to Moses and Aaron. For all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? This is that initial idea that, yes, is brought out properly in the scriptures of the priesthood of all believers. The fact that all believers are a holy priesthood to God. And yet there is still structure and order. There is still hierarchy that is there. Because Korah himself is a Levite. Dathan and Abiram are members of the tribe of Reuben. So they are truly wanting to say, no, when you go back and read the history of the tribes, you realize Reuben's the firstborn. Reuben's the one who should be leading, not Levi, not Moses. It should be somebody from their group. And so they come out and they have their words with Moses and Aaron. And then Moses and Aaron comes back and divides them from the people, telling everybody to back up because the Lord is going to act. And if the Lord sides with Korah and Dathan and Abiram, Moses and Aaron will back off. But if Moses and Aaron are in the right, something new is going to happen. And the earth is going to open its mouth and swallow them up, which is exactly what happens. The earth opens up underneath Korah and Dathan and Abiram and all of their followers, swallowing up not only them, but their tents, all of their possessions, their families, everything is gone. They are truly wiped off the face of the earth. The older generation are the one who lived through it. They saw it with their own eyes. So he says, keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong, that you may go in and take possession of the land that you're going over to possess and live long in that land. Because that land is land flowing with milk and honey, which is exactly the problem that Dathan and Abiram posed to Moses and Aaron, that they had taken them out of a land flowing with milk and honey, that being the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness. Again, another one of these times where everybody's complaining that Moses brought the people out to kill them in the wilderness. But again, God speaks and disciplines his people. Ultimately, there are times where the discipline is final and absolute, like Dathan and Abiram. Other times, thankfully, far, far, far more often, God uses lesser things to teach us, to remind us, to bring us back into the remembrance of His goodness. Because He is not wanting servile fear, that we fear because we are worried about the punishment of not doing it right. He wants the reverent fear, the fear of this is the God who, yes, if it were truly up to me, if He weren't gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, yeah, the earth would open up underneath all of us and swallow us up like Dathan and Abiram. But God is merciful. God gives, even right now, as the people are still on the other side of the Jordan River from the Promised Land, even when they were in Egypt, God still kept His eye on the land that He had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob for their descendants, was taking care of the land even then, so that when it was the time that the Israelites came in to possess it, that they would truly find a land flowing with milk and honey, a lush earthly paradise for them that God had provided for them. But yet, verses 16 and 17, very important in all of this blessing. Take care lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and He will shut up the heavens, and there will be no rain, and the land will not yield its fruit. He says, yes, in the time of plenty, there will be the temptations to turn away from God, that you don't need Him because things aren't bad. You know, you're doing just fine all on your own. That's when God takes even the little things away. This is what happened with Elijah. That 3.5 years of no rain, of famine and drought, all because the people had fallen away from God. They had gotten into the enjoyment of all the blessings materially that they had under King Ahab, especially. It wasn't the greatest of economic times, but it was right up there for the northern kingdom. And they lost complete faith in God because they didn't need it. They had everything they wanted. So God took away the most basic thing, water. The one thing needed for the crops to grow, to continue that progression and continue that prosperity. He says, nope. Elijah is given the power of allowing the rain to fall when he desires. And yet that desire is tempered by God's commandment that it is going to be a time and that He is going to be taken care of during that time, because He is one of the Lord's prophets, so that He was proclaiming the word. He was being faithful in what He did in the kingdom of God, whereas the rest of the people were not very faithful, including Elijah going back to Horeb, running from Ahab and Jezebel because, well, he figures he's the only one left. Everybody else is turned away. He's wanting God even to strike him dead because he doesn't want to live in a world where nobody listens to God. And yet, God says, you're a little full of yourself. I still have 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal. I still have 7,000 who are keeping me from wiping the land out completely. It's not just about you. It's about you and the fellowship that you have with those of faith. And that's still the same today. We have the great and wonderful technology that allows podcasts to happen, that allows you to watch videos of worship services from most of the world. You can see just about anywhere you want, to listen to any preacher you want, and that's got its point. But that can't be the whole of it. You have to have that camaraderie. You have to have that fellowship with the people around you. You can't just do it through a computer screen, through an app on your phone. This has to be in person. This has to be something that is there, that is not only to build you up, but you are there to help build others up as well. This is part of keeping the commandments in God's eyes. This is part of obeying Him. This is part of the blessing that is there, is that we come together to be strengthened, just like we do in this podcast. This is not to replace your church. This is to help in the midst of the week, to strengthen you, to equip you, to make you ready so that you are not just Sunday morning while you're in the church building able to wrestle with theology, but that you may do it all of the week. Amen.